Hello, lovelies. Welcome to Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I look forward to sharing my channeled message with you today. And if you love it, please like, share, review, and subscribe. So those of you who know me know that I sometimes have themes. In fact, I always have themes. Okay, it might be a theme, a topic that I end up talking to every single client about all week, organically or because I feel like I have to, or whatever, things that circle around me. I wondered how that would work out in the podcast or if it would, but it certainly has, and sometimes it challenges me, like today. So the thing that has been circling around me is atheism. And as I've explored this more to have this conversation with you today, as I've thought about it more, and actually I intentionally, which I've done many times in my life, but I intentionally talked to a couple of proclaimed atheists that I know. I realized this conversation may be less about atheism and more about the G word, God. I avoid using the word God on my social media, specifically Facebook. People seem to have a forum on Facebook where they're, you know, ready to lash out and share their opinions, which I actually appreciate. So, you know, no harm, no foul. But anytime I post anything with the word God in it, I get a lecture because people's idea of God often is very limited to an anthropomorphic being. For those of you who don't know what that means, right? For those of you who do, no insult implied. But for those of you who don't know what that means, anthropomorphic is for something to be personified, given the shape and form of a person. Okay, in literature, they call it personification. Y'all probably learned that one in high school, at least, giving something human features. But a anthropomorphic God is a God that is a being, like a man, on a throne, in the clouds, out there somewhere. And there are people who cannot associate the word God with anything but this anthropomorphic being. Many of them, my husband included, rejects the word God so ferociously because of what it evokes in them. And honestly, I believe what they believe someone else believes about what they believe if they say the word God. Now, most of you who've listened for very long know that I think we shouldn't give two shits about what other people think. And if we use the word God to mean whatever it happens to mean to us, who cares what they think we mean, right? So the G word, God, the universe, energy, source, beginning, whatever. I believe it's all semantics. I talk a lot about semantics, right? We're all speaking different languages. Words limit things. And the minute you try to describe whatever it is that is, you limit it. And so a lot of people choose not to try. And I am perfectly okay with that. Let's be clear. This episode is not going to be anything about changing your religion. And I personally happen to think that atheism is a religion. And it's interesting because I learned something about agnostic today or yesterday. I've always said that people who claim to be atheist are actually more agnostic than anything else. But here's what I learned about the word agnostic. It's actually a word made up by a biologist, a dude that was friends with Darwin. His name was Thomas Huxley. And he coined the term really for political reasons, because he knew that people were so revolted by the idea of atheism that he thought, you know, giving it a different word would make people not flip out. And I mean, it worked, right? I mean, it's definitely less offensive to people because for some reason people assume when someone claims to be an atheist that they believe in nothing, and, you know, the very religious people believe that there's some sort of, you know, demon being or something, and that it somehow makes you a bad person. But what I will say is I've talked to a lot of atheists. My favorite, well, not my favorite, but something I really love to do and always have is to ask an atheist what they believe in. I challenge you the next time you meet someone who is an atheist to ask them what they believe in, because it will, without fail, either be a very simple or very elaborate and beautiful discussion, description of God. Just to be clear, the word agnostic describes all kinds of people that resist, you know, organized religion, and many of them actually do believe in God. And so one of the atheists that I spoke to yesterday, hi, Stephen, he really was giving me the designation between a weak atheist and a strong atheist. And basically what an atheist believes is that there is no being that created it all, right? That it isn't just at the will of one specific thing that this happened. I actually completely agree with that. A weak atheist says, I don't know what source is. Okay, great. I happen to call that God. So all of you out there who freak out at the idea that an atheist doesn't believe in God, they don't believe in the word God. They don't believe in an anthropomorphic God. They don't believe it was at the will of some empowered, strong being. But let go of this idea that they believe in nothing. Because even the ones who claim to believe in nothing believe in something. And I'll give you a real quick example. My friend Lauren is an atheist. Like, straight up on Facebook, Religious Views says atheist. And, you know, I personally don't have a problem with that. But here's the deal. I asked her very directly. I shared with her, okay, I personally do not believe in an anthropomorphic God. And I'm doing this podcast. The concept of atheists has been around me. And would you share with me what you believe? She was very happy to do so. So thank you, Lauren. She said, and this will make some people shudder, okay, but whatever. She said that, you know, first of all, she doesn't believe anything happens to us after we die. That we go into the earth to keep the earth going. And she did specify that she didn't mean that in any way other than fertilizer. Okay, that's fine. I can argue semantics here. I can say that fertilizer is still energy continuation. And that's okay, right? I believe that what she was implying is that our consciousness does not go on. I happen to believe that some elements of our consciousness do go on, only because of my personal experiences in the world. But I don't think it matters if it does or not, let's be honest. Okay, so I don't have a problem with that. But here's where she described what is God to me. She said, I believe that we are all responsible to each other because there's nothing pulling the strings. Yes, yes, we are all responsible to each other. We are here creating each other's curriculum, and we must learn to love and care for one another, to hope for the best for everyone, to release jealousy, envy, hatred, all of it, to be here and be responsible. First and foremost, of course, for our own experience, but also to each other. And that thing, that pull, I call that God. Yes, we are responsible to each other, pushing and pulling, teaching and challenging, inspiring, and pulling the strings for each other. She says it's only us here. I agree. Here on this physical plane, shoes on the floor, feet to the earth, and the energy, the intention, the spirit around us pulls no strings. We're not predestined. I personally think that we have potential. I would call it a purpose to discover. And I don't care what you call it. You can call it a passion for something. That's fine. Again, that is semantics. And I agree that the idea of some man being out there who has predestined our lives for us doesn't make sense. And so what do I call God? I call God that connection, that responsibility. And I think that if I were to push the conversation with her to remix her idea of what the word God means, that she could have a conversation replacing responsible with God, just like we can replace love with God. Of course, there is no way to prove there's a God. There's no evidence to present, just like there's no evidence to prove love. There's no picture. There's nothing tangible that can be argued away or argued for. That was one of the things that Stephen said, that he is not so presumptuous to think that he knows. I like that. How do you explain something intangible that exists, that's amongst us all, but you can't prove? Again, this is an example of how the universe spins things around me. And it was actually Sunday afternoon that set it in stone for me that this was the conversation we'd have this week, because we had a play date for my daughter, and her friend's father found out for the first time what it is that I do. And instead of asking me questions, he went off on a tangent, which happens a lot. And actually, you know, thank you, universe, for that. and he was talking about how he tries to explain God to his children, how difficult it is because you can't prove it. And we didn't get into his thoughts about an anthropomorphic God, but his version of God that he described on Sunday afternoon did not sound anthropomorphic to me. He compared it to love. How do you know you love someone? It's that energy, that feeling. And he says that is God to him. I like that. I like that. The more that we try, the further we get away from what the G word is. People try hard to argue if God does or does not exist, but usually the argument is less about the reality of energy and the true cause of the visible world than it is about an accordance with or against a word, because of this concept of anthropomorphic God that is a ruling figure in the form of a man who executes blame and or compassion on any individual that's in line with his or her compliance to some kind of law created by a religion, by economics. And in almost all cases, some adulterated form of what was once a wise, well-intended metaphor for being a good person. You know, through my journey, through these 44 years that I have been on this planet, I have met the faithful and the faithless. I meant to say the faithless, but I've met the faceless too. The people afraid to say who they are. I think that's worse than anything else. I have absolutely no problem with people questioning reality. I think we should. I've met every kind of religious zealot. I've met those who can, you know, claim to be completely void of any such thing. And in each and every one of them, there is a thread in common, and it happens to be the thing that I call God. I challenge each of you to put down your own indoctrinated rhetoric, no matter what it may be, and imagine for just a moment that all of us are right. We're just speaking different languages, some more elegant than the next, some more literal, whatever, all based on what each individual needs or believes he needs so that we can feel safe in the world. Some people need to believe there is this father-like being watching over them to feel safe in the world. Others actually feel more safe to think we're here and we die and that's it. They feel more safe. There's no unknown there. And then the people who are making up this heaven that is some resort in the sky, they need that to feel safe. I'm going to say it's all a metaphor for whatever really is, because in our human mind, we cannot conceive of it. And the moment we try to describe it, we make it something that it is not. I am going to actually quote Stephen here. He said in this wonderful by text message that he sent me, and Stephen, really thank you for your participation here. He said, "None of us really know what is going on. We know we exist. We can experience something that is mostly consistent and discernible through our senses. We can use that perceived consistency to do things like develop language, have families, get to work on time, learn new things, find pleasure, and measure the course of our lives against it as we age. But for the most part, that's all we know, and likely all any of us ever get to know, or at least that we get to know with 100% certainty. Everything else is a mystery, and I am happy not knowing. I enjoy reveling in the mystery of being. I like having an open mind. I like learning about other religions and philosophies, trying on their rituals, eating their foods, listening and learning their music. I find a different utility to all of it. But no one gets the monopoly on the structure and nature of being, at least not from where I'm looking at." I am absolutely in love with this. It gives me chills. I agree. No one is better than the other. No path is better than the other. All of the religions and the paths and the rituals and the bullshit and the everything, it all exists on a continuum of the truth, and each of us should find what works for us, not out of fear, but out of experience. I am in love with that. What I call God, what I call the universe, what some call energy and others call connection, some call biology. But it's going on everywhere all the time. And so can it be manifest as a man? I'm not going to say in this forum yes or no to that. But what I will say is that both could be real and that it doesn't matter. When I talked to the minister down the street about what he believes God to be, he is literally thinking of a dude, right? He is thinking of a man who literally did a bunch of things that nobody can prove. And I myself at the same time, and I'm acknowledging something different. The possibility that source, that energy, that potential. Right, this is new for me, but I like this. Potential as a synonym for God. Potential pushed forth as people. Being that thing I call God, that connection, that power, that movement, that alignment with the best we can be. Hell yeah, I like that. You know, it doesn't matter. We're all using words to get as close to the truth as we can with something that cannot be described. And it's only an issue when judgment plays a role. To say that a good woman isn't good because she sees God in her children and in the trees instead of some book or some building, or to call some other woman pious because she's nice to people out of the fear of retribution at the hands of some vengeful so-called father, that is the problem. That is a way greater problem than to hear somebody claim that they don't believe in God. especially when if you ask them what they believe in, it will be a beautiful description of God. Even if it's as simple as we are each responsible to each other. No one has to recognize or name something that's a creature, right? I mean, you have to understand, to someone who sees God as energy and potential, or sees what they choose not to call God as energy and potential, it is gross to limit that to a body. When you guys have heard me say before, we are each a push out of the same higher thing. Call it what you want. Call it God, call it spirit, call it universe, call it human potential. It's all semantics. I talk to many, many people attempting to reconcile their religious indoctrination and their vision of God, life, death, hell, Jesus, all of it, with their spirituality. And others who struggle with the desire to reject even the label spiritual because it too attempts to define the undefinable. And what I say to them is what I'll say to you, and I'll credit Bill and Ted. Be excellent to each other. Accept that one person may define God differently than another. And one person may choose not to define God at all. It doesn't matter. Those of you in fear of the word atheist, recognize that I have never met an atheist that didn't have a better social responsibility than anybody else. That every single one of them has told me that they believe we are responsible for our own actions. That they are only forgiven if we can learn and grow. That no one or nothing is making us be good or bad. And of course, that is a reference to some of the religious beliefs that there are demons or Satan or whatever causing us to be bad. I don't believe in that bullshit either, so there's that. We are people making decisions, and we should be responsible for that. We should be excellent to each other. I say the connection between you and God is direct. It is within you. It is God wanting to express as you. Take out the word God and put potential. Potential is in you wanting to be pressed forth, to see you be the best you can be, as health, as well-being, as joy. Do you think I'm talking about some dude out there that wants that? If that helps you understand it, great. Go ahead. Think that's fine. If that helps you be excellent to each other. But don't do it out of fear or guilt, because that's bullshit. And if you need to, if you want to, reject the word God, but recognize that to say that we are here to do the best that we can, that we are responsible for doing the best that we can, that very potential for good is what I happen to call God and what many, many people happen to call God. So do not blanketly reject another person. I say that because of all those times I've not posted some awesome meme I found because I didn't want to hear somebody go off about that there is no God. What's funny, though, is that when people do that, they then tell me what is. And it's always, it is always some version of my description of God, which, of course, as I said before, is limiting. So if you need a personification of God, that's fine. Those of you who know what Akashic Records are, I liken this to Akashic Records, right? Akashic Records are something you cannot prove, of course. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's when somebody reads where they see, receive that your soul used to be, and they talk about you being from some planet or whatever. Sure. I don't think that it's supposed to be some planet somewhere. I don't. I think that that is giving words to something we cannot describe. Just like, well, every definition of God puts words on things we cannot describe. You know? Because, just to be clear, if you receive nothing today, get this. God is not both Father and Executioner. I'm going to just blanket reject the idea that there's anybody out there trying to put punishment and pain and negative experiences on us other than, you know, maybe some asshole human. In reality, God is. It is that connection. It is that love. It is that energy. It is the thing that goes all the way back. And, you know, one of the things that I think it was Steven said in our conversation was that you end up with like a chicken and the egg thing, right? Which came first, the universe or the thing that created the universe or whatever? And I'm going to say it's all the same thing. Yeah. I think it was the last episode where I talked about quarks and leptons and all, and that as far as we can go into it, we are all the same thing. I call God the universe because when I say God, I get attacked. When I say God, I'm misunderstood often. And I know that then there are also people who reject universe. I see, you know, the very religious cringe because I have been directly told by some of them that they have been taught that if someone is talking about the universe in lieu of God, that this person is going to go to hell. Well, just real quick, if you think anybody's going to hell because they don't believe what you believe, I think you're on the wrong side. So an atheist believes that there are no deities, no divine creator. There's nothing that limits that. They believe in science. Guess what? So do I. In fact, I like science the most. And I love, love, love when science can, for me, confirm my spirituality. I.e. the quarks and leptons, right? Like the tiniest little thing that they break everything down to and it matches. And of course, there's even more to that. You know, the belief that the belief in some big entity behind you, above you, pulling the strings, so to speak, is required for you to be a moral person is a joke. Because, as you know, more people have done horrible things in the name of religion than for any other reason. In fact, atheism itself was mostly coined during the 16th century, during the French Revolution. They called it unprecedented atheism because it was a movement against this religious movement that we can go back and prove historically was strings pulled by kings and politicians wanting to control people using fear. It was the first political movement, political force, to promote human reason. Human reason. Human reason. How can we argue with that? Let's be reasonable. Let's think about the cause and effect. Let's think about things instead of just saying it's in the hands of some giant man. So, what is the dogma of an atheist? Be excellent to each other. Do your best. Don't be a dick. I'm in. I have to say, again, I liken the rejection of any religion, lumping atheism into the lot of them. The villainization of that is racism. Racism, sexism, anti-gayism, whatever you want to call it. It is people stricken by fear that if somebody doesn't believe in the same thing that they do, that they could be wrong. If people don't describe the connection that exists in this world, the undeniable thing, that then they have to be wrong somehow. And so the religious sometimes look at the spiritual or the atheists as horrible people. Oh, they're going to burn in hell. And that side often looks at the religious as uneducated or naive. But all belief systems exist on a continuum of the truth. It is like this ramp going upwards, each a little bit closer to pure truth than the other, but each one attempting to get individuals as close to it as they can. And the only ones that are inferior are the ones that believe they are superior. Because that way of looking at the world is selfish and small. Every path in this life that helps you buy in to being excellent to each other is valid. Because if that way of looking at the world helps even one person be what Laura said, responsible for each other, then it worked. Yes, people have done horrible things in the name of religion. They've also done horrible things without it. Alan Watts wrote an essay called The New Alchemy. And I will say, he tends to be quite wordy with things, but I like this. A man can perform actions which are truly moral only when he is no longer motivated by the fear of hell. That is, when he grows into union with the good that is beyond good and evil, which in other words, does not act from the love of rewards or the fear of punishments. This is precisely the nature of the world when it is considered a self-moving action, giving out a past instead of being motivated by a past. In other words, we don't do anything for the love of compassion or the fear of punishment. And so for many, to reject this anthropomorphic idea of God is to say, I'm good because I'm good. And I happen to call good God. You know, in an effort for full disclosure, Alan Watts, he wrote some great things and was in search of spiritual things. But this essay, The New Alchemy, he was tripping acid. I mean, he did some intentional experiments back in the 50s and 60s, just so that nobody comes back with that to me later. But his attempt there was to recreate some of the spiritual insights that he had and to be able to put words on it. And in that sense, I believe he did a really good job. I'm going to share one more thing from the essay, The New Alchemy. And, well, you just let it roll around in your brain. Existence is simple. It is present formation. This seems to be perfect, to be an end or a fulfillment without any need for justification. Flowers do not bloom in order to produce seeds, nor do seeds germinate in order to bring birth to flowers. Each stage of the process, seed, sprout, bud, flower, and fruit, may be regarded as the goal. That. Be present every day. Make the best of every moment. Attempt to fulfill your potential. And be excellent to each other. Until next time, beloved, namaste. Thank each and every one of you for joining me today for this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I appreciate each and every one of you for taking time out of your day to spend with me. If you haven't already found me on Facebook and Instagram, come and find me there and join the conversation. My Facebook family is growing and we want you there with us. If you are inspired by the podcast, please consider clicking the green patron button. Not only will your support help keep us going and growing, but also coming very soon, there will be some patron-only content saved just for those of you that choose to help keep us on the air. If you haven't received word, maybe you haven't been following on social media, I am also offering some educational sessions for people inspired by the podcast that would like to learn and know more. You can find detailed information about that in the About section on my Facebook page. I want to send you each light and love, clarity and wisdom. I know always that whether you realize it or not, there's a little brunette with a podcast who's got your back. Until next time, beloved, namaste.